Welcome to hell.
I'm glad I shaved.
Yes, I'm glad you did too.
I shave every Monday morning.
Oh, that's good.
If you have a meeting with me on Friday, you think I'm homeless. But it's okay.
So you look like me?
You know what? I suffer from Eastern European Jewish facial hair problems, and then I get little tufts of things. But I grow like a Bob Dylan beard. It never comes in full.
Gotcha.
So I just look homeless or like a guy with like a rare skin disease.
Hello and welcome to the Jersey Shore Musicians Podcast. I'm Matt. That's Jeff. And today we have
the first time you got it without me interrupting.
Diane
you.
And Doug yes. From the Asbury Park Vibes podcast.
Hey,
golf clap.
Hi, fellas.
How are we doing today?
You know, for Monday, we're doing okay.
I thought it was going to be like, I was good until you fucked up my name.
Yeah. I didn't fuck up his name. I fucked up my name.
I've been called worse. No worries.
I was in the right realm. It started with the right letter.
That's right.
Wow. Yep.
You're a consonant challenged.
You are challenged.
I've challenged in many ways. Do you have any trouble finding the place?
No, actually. You know, you just never know who's going to have like a 32-track recording studio in their basement. I thought maybe there was a dentist office back here or something.
That's next door.
Oh, yeah?
That was next door.
And although Diane and I are not musicians, we both actually have musical backgrounds. Diane studied professional flouting as a youngster, and I have played the guitar in some hackish way since I was nine.
You dabbled?
Dabbled. I own way too many things to call it dabbling.
Okay.
He dabbles, he noodles, he does all kinds of things.
I'm a good noodler. Uh-huh. But I've gotten to the point where my pedal board, I can't even lift up anymore. So I may have to just ship some stuff off to Adrian Ballou and Robert Fripp because there's just too much stuff on that board at this point.
It's never too much.
That's
never
true.
Never too much.
I'm a purist.
Analog people.
Hey.
Well, like I said, we don't always have just musicians on here. It's anybody that has anything to do with music in general. And you guys, through your podcast and your photography, you are definitely very large supporters of music. So,
absolutely.
Welcome.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Though I did shoot sumo wrestling in Jersey City last week.
Sometimes you got to switch it up, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's actually, I've been doing the live photography thing now for quite a while since I got my first digital camera because you couldn't do what most of us do on a film camera with almost no light and creating an image that you could see. But I've taken pictures of just so many bands that when something weird comes along, I'm like totally into it.
Yeah.
So I had a chance to do like a BDSM like holiday party. And
well, that must have been interesting.
It was fascinating. It was very difficult to get angles that wouldn't be inappropriate, but I had a great time. And I've done wrestling. And then when the sumo thing came along, I was like, that's written all over it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, sometimes different is good. It's not the usual.
I like to be unusual.
And
I think
you had your own press chair, too.
Yes, I had a chair.
Which was really cool. We never get that.
Somebody scrawled Asbury Park Vibes on it. And I was like, they love us.
Media.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Cool. I want a chair.
So buy a fucking chair.
I want you to buy it for me.
No way.
I bet if you buy a chair, he'll make a little placard that's got your name on it.
Yeah.
If I buy you a chair, are you buying me a chair?
No.
What the hell? What the fuck is that?
Let's not let chairs come between us.
Trust me, this is nothing for us. I've been putting up with his ass for way too long. Way too long.
I actually want to ask them, you know, we're always asking the questions. I want to ask them questions.
I know.
You can.
Because we didn't have Jeff the last time.
I was curious, what are some of the bands or content creators that have been on both of our podcasts?
I'm pretty sure we've both done the Azures.
The Azures.
Mm-hmm. Last week we had Free the Witness on here finally.
Oh, yeah. They're my
buddies. I think we met Free the Witness somewhere, didn't we?
Yeah, we've had.
What's that very nice woman's name whose husband plays too? He recently shaved his head.
Natalie Farrell.
Natalie Farrell.
She's scheduled to be on here in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Super talented.
She is.
Yeah. Yeah. So is her husband, Lou.
Yeah, yes. I believe they're both coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're amazing. So yeah, I'm sure we have.
Jeff's like, I don't know.
Email? Was that emailed?
That might have been Instagram.
Look in your Google calendar.
Yeah, no, I'm not really. No, but good. That's how I know I have a podcast.
It's interesting that, you know, everyone's looking for an outlet. Everybody's looking for something, and we provide a very similar service. I myself have been trying to sort of move away from the Asbury bubble. Diana and I were joking about it earlier. I mean, there's just so many times you could take pictures of the same 15 bands. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to get out of Asbury Park and go to Jersey City or the Battery or Electric or do, you know, bizarre shoots for other things.
Well, as we had spoken on your podcast too, just Asbury in general, it literally is the same 15 bands over and over and over and over and over.
It's become increasingly insular.
Yeah, and when we first started Asbury Park Vibes, where it came from was the vibe. I mean, literally, there's a music vibe there that just really grabbed a hold of me. But my intention was always to let that be the fuel of us, you know, kind of covering the scene.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Broadening the base.
You know, I mean, but that's the spirit of the music community, and that's why we're called Asbury Park Vibes. And yes, we'll obviously embrace the community because that's where our studio is, and we love
it's
the people
home base,
there.
Yeah.
But yeah, our intention was always to cover outside Asbury as well. So
okay, how long have you guys been doing Asbury Park Vibe for?
Started like at the end of 2018.
It was just before COVID became serious.
Okay.
So I didn't know who Diane was, and I don't know if she knew who I was.
I didn't.
I was standing in the Saint about 6 months before COVID hit. We were seeing a band, and I was chatting with a woman who I chat with all the time, who's taking pictures with her phone. And then she said, "Oh, Doug, I'm really excited. This woman named Diane from Asbury Park Vibes has invited me to take pictures for them." And my ego was so bruised. I'm standing there with like $9,000 worth of camera gear, and this person's taking pictures with her phone. I'm like, well, you know, what about me?
Mm-hmm. I did not know you.
So the next day I looked her up and I wrote to her and I was like, hey, I'm me. You should essentially, you should like me.
Yeah.
I'm fun to be around.
Love me.
And so we started talking about taking pictures together and what we could do. And then all of a sudden, there was no one to take photographs of. We were home.
The pandemic.
Yeah. And Diane and I were talking. She's like, what are we going to do now? And I said, you know, let's do a podcast. Everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we first started with no gear. It was all done through Zoom, and we'd strip the audio off and I'd edit it. And then we found out that we liked it. And then between Diane and I together, or sometimes we'll do our own podcast if there was a particular band we like or something. So
if
more
we
of a niche.
Make it, yeah, if we can't make it.
I think the two of us, we're well over 140 podcasts.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And some of the other people who come and go in Asbury Park Vibes have done some podcasts, but I that sort of falls off because they don't do it. But Diane and I have really made it part of our, this is what we do.
Okay.
And it's a hoot.
It is. Yeah.
So when you started, let's just talk about the vibe. Get that?
Yeah.
What's the vibe now from, we'll say, 2018 to, like, today in your home base? Because it's very, okay, I'll say it was very musically, like, yeah, like, it's the place to go play and blah, blah, blah. And I've seen that before where then certain money comes in and certain money drowns out the things you don't want to see anymore. Like, have you seen a downward tick?
Interesting, because we were just talking about this on the way here. Mm. Yes.
I'm the one that asked the hard questions.
There is a lot going on. And I would have to say, yes, I see, obviously with the gentrification and everything, it's causing a lot of problems. People who have been in Asbury all of this time and, you know, all of the new blood, there's a lot of clashing. Talk about the riots that they used to have. It almost seems like they're, you know, there's just this this friction right now between a lot of people. But what I see happening in Asbury, I see happening nationwide with the venues. I really do. I see venues, unfortunately, especially since the pandemic, being a lot less successful. And I see it in all towns. There's a difficulty in, I think people nowadays, they want experiences that go, that they want to experience music, but they also want other experiences altogether. So as opposed to going to a venue, spending the night there to see three or four bands, having a couple of beers. I think people also or prefer now to, like, let's say be at a restaurant where you can have all your friends, you're eating, you know, you're listening to bands. You know, they're looking for different ways to experience music. Mm-hmm. And if you are dependent, overly dependent on the only way you're sharing music through a venue, then you're going to struggle. Mm-hmm. But I see it happening throughout the nation. I was just reading that article I was telling you about, too, with the venues in this Australian town, kind of banding together, haha, pun intended, just, you know, banding together and trying to make it work as, like, a unit, as opposed to each individually competing. And, you know, they're just, I think people have to, it's like an entrepreneurship. You have to look at a different way to do it to make it work. And everyone's kind of stuck in the old rut of doing it the same way.
Or the way it's always been.
The way it's always been.
You have See, I think a lot of what you're talking about is, like, when I was, like, 14 to 19 years old, I was at a show every weekend, mm-hmm. if not multiple shows every weekend. Kids don't do that anymore.
No, they don't.
And that's what supports a scene from the bottom. And there's the kids nowadays, they're not going to go to a show because they could just pick up their phone.
That's
but
right.
But it's more than that from my perspective. When we first started talking about Asbury Park Vibes, there was a sense of newness to the oldness of Asbury Park, right? So there was the Saint, there was House of Independence, there was still the Brighton Bar was still open. It seemed easier to break into, say, the Wonder Bar and get a gig if you were a new band. And even while Asbury Lanes was around, when Jen Hampton was running.
The real Lanes, yeah.
So it seemed easier for a band that's never made its first national tour to find a stop either at the Lanes or at the Saint. And then they would build up their name. And when they came around again, then they would go to, say, the Wonder Bar or something bigger.
But back then, Asbury as a whole was very inclusive. Now it's very exclusive.
I don't think it had as strong a bubble over it, right? Yeah. So
I'm even saying genre-wise, different genres could play at Asbury.
We'll come back to that because there's a newer venue that is taking the money out of Asbury with the young kids.
Hmm.
So what I saw is after the pandemic and these places closed down, you know, these venues, look, the truth is they may love music. We understand that. But they still have to make payroll.
It's in the end, it's a business.
You have to make money. Yeah. So in order to make money, particularly after the pandemic, now you see performances that get people to come out, like Taylor Swift night or, you know, Emo Night Toronto or whatever.
But that's not supporting original music.
No, it's
not. But it's making people money so they can keep the door open. The first time I had been to Salty's Beach Bar before it became like this really like new place, I'd said to Diane, there's this place in Lake Cuomo of all places. They've got a big stage with a great PA and lights, and they have this smaller sort of danky back room for the high school bands. That's going to take the place of places like the Saint. Hmm. And so where that young money is, it's going to Salty's because they're bringing in those mid-level punk hardcore bands that people are still interested in.
The ones that are excluded from Asbury Park.
Because they're not going to bring in enough people to make it worth their while to go to the Wonder Bar. One of the things you loved about the Saint is you can get 25 people to show up and the place looked packed. Mm. And so there was an energy that you wouldn't get. So I see it more as just the economics of Asbury have changed and that people are just trying to keep their doors open. And some of that young money is going to Salty's Beach Bar because they're booking the bands that kids want to see.
You know, and money is a big factor in all of this, too, with the ticket prices, the extra fees and everything. Yeah. So people, you know, they save up their money for that one big concert that they want to go to, whether it's Motley Crue or Taylor Swift. But, you know, they're going to save up their money, go to that one big concert and... you know, they're not thinking of the local music scene. A lot of people don't.
Because they have to put like an extra mortgage on their house to go see Taylor Swift.
Right. It's
But I think post-pandemic, the economics changed where to stay afloat, you have to cater to a less inquisitive but wealthier population of people to come play at your
but
house.
That is true. But even before the pandemic, it was crashing. Well before the pandemic.
I would have to agree with that.
How many years can it be new, right? Look, I love the bands that play there, but there's just so many times you could see one of the 15 bands that are, and if I don't catch them today at one venue, I know that in the summer they're going to be playing for free in the in some other venue.
Yeah.
So I think the draw to Asbury is still exciting, but I think there's less variety of the kind of thing that you're looking for. Yeah. Look, if you want to see a cover band, take your gummies, swill back a couple of Bud Tallnecks. Asbury can still be the place for you.
Well, I think that's now its main thing.
It could be. There's just way too much emo something or Taylor Swift night, but
it's weird though, because like when you mention the old Asbury, you say House of Independence, but to me, House of Independence is new Asbury.
Yeah,
that is no way. I would
agree, it's new Asbury, but for about the first half of their existence, they catered to very odd acts and very new acts and bands. Look, the tradition of Asbury in the history of music was that if you had a gig in Philadelphia or you had a gig in New York, you know, there's limits of how close you can play to those.
Yeah, it was like a halfway point, yeah.
Right? So Asbury was always that halfway point for the up-and-coming bands, for the bigger bands. I mean, you see in 1969, you know, Led Zeppelin, everybody's playing at the convention hall, right? But Asbury is still a nice waypoint where you should be able to get a good Thursday night show in Asbury because someone's coming through Philly up to New York, which is fine. But I from my perspective, it still comes back that when Asbury rehatched itself and House of Independence, they had Luchador wrestling, they had hardcore bands. I mean, they had such a nice variety of music that post-COVID, it shifted to, we need to make enough money to keep the doors open.
Yeah.
And then it flooded, and now it's gone.
Where they did not make enough money to keep the doors open. I heard that was a pretty bill for that one.
I would imagine if you build a venue where your main hall is 50 feet below ground level, that would be something you'd be concerned about.
But right on the water. It's potentially problematic.
I'm outside of my area of expertise.
Yes, we are great not
PA construction. Great PA system. Great light system. I loved it there.
Oh, it was a cool venue, yeah.
I found the management, for the most part, was very easy to deal with. You know, getting passes for about the first half of the time that it was open was very easy to deal with. And it was friendly. And then the security guards were decent people. You get to know them. They were all very nice. But that model has changed. Now, if you want to go see a band that's going to do a track-for-track replay of Amy, who's that singer who drank herself to death.
Winehouse.
Yeah. You know, if you want to see like the best of Amy Winehouse in a big theatrical production, you could still do that. That falls a little outside of my general interest. I like the newer, younger band set. Look, I'm going to be 60 this year, but I still like being challenged by new, younger bands. But the possibility of seeing Drug Church or what were some of the other newer bands? Say something like that. I think this band, Drug Church, is fantastic. There's nowhere in Asbury where they're going to draw enough people to make it the worthwhile to book them at a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the problem is at this point, especially in Asbury, the way it's become is it would take a while to cultivate a scene to support that. It would have to be allowed on a regular basis.
But that's what I'm saying.
And it'd have to be like a push behind it to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. But years ago, a band like that would play The Saint once or twice, build up a bit of a name. Then they could headline The Saint and bring in 50 people and make it worth their while. And then 2 months later, they could open for, a larger national touring act at one of those other places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I also think there's also a pretty big liability with some of the music and people, you know, getting hurt at shows or stage diving.
Insurance plays a big thing
now. It's serious. So
I was at a show in Jersey City 3 weeks ago. Who did I go see?
Oh, my gosh. You're always somewhere.
Whoever I saw, but I shouldn't have been. Look, I'm too old to be up front. But where are you going to get the pictures?
Yeah.
The concussion and the whiplash.
Oh, wow.
I was in pain for about 2 weeks after the show.
Wow.
But I did it to myself. But I could see where venues are like, you know, maybe this new alternative stuff, we can't afford that because someone's going to get hurt and then sue them. I would never do that because I'm standing there like a fat idiot to begin with.
Right? Yeah, like it's my own dumbass full of obscenity. Yeah,
but even from some of the touring guys, they say that their insurance policies now are just astronomical.
Yeah.
Like it's insane.
Yep.
I blame the lady that spilled the McDonald's coffee on her. And
yeah, right.
That was the start.
That was the start of the snowball rolling down the hill.
I see it more akin to this, what do they call, crowd killing? So it used to,
that's been around for a very long time.
It used to be you can go to a show. Look, I've been going to hardcore shows since I was 17, 18, when I barely got into Ramapo College, and we'd steal out and go to CBGB's. There was always a safe place somewhere to stand in the venue. Yeah. You stand to the sides, nobody bother you. But now, they jump off the stage, swinging their hands like jackhammers, and they're aiming for us, you know, assholes who are standing on the left or the right side of the stage. There's no safe place to stand if you want to stand close to some of these bands. And you either accept that and you get knocked into, like me, because I'm a fool, or you have to stand farther back. And if you ask me, if I'm going to pay $20 to see a band, I want to be as close as possible.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But it's one of those things, if you're going to a hardcore show, you know there's a good chance you're going to get smacked up by somewhere.
I was warned that this was going to be a rough show.
So you knew it going in.
I was happy that none of the sumo wrestlers fell on me. One fell close to me.
Oh, wow. That must have been something. That must have been something.
I was disappointed. They weren't as sumo-ish as I'd hoped.
Okay.
Though I can say, in all honesty, some of them might consider seeing, you know, some extra grooming down there. Because there are parts of people I've seen that I cannot unsee.
Hence why
paint that picture.
Yeah.
Well, I don't take those pictures.
We'll be right back after this moment.
Oh, man.
I know. It's like, shake it off, shake it off.
I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
It's all part of the experience.
But you know, as I think of like a really blossoming music scene is Brooklyn.
Okay.
Brooklyn's always really had a pretty good scene. Yeah.
I mean, they're very, very welcoming. I'm actually approaching the venues now. I mean, I took pictures all of these years. I know, I always get yelled at for not talking into my mic by him.
You did all right. But don't worry.
You do.
Dawn, you're doing good.
Dawn. We're the ones that will yell at you for that this time.
Please do. But I'm looking at it from a different perspective now, as opposed to getting the press pass for photography. Now I'm approaching the venues because I manage a band and trying to book them, get them bookings. And let me tell you, Brooklyn is very welcoming. All genres, lots of great venues.
There's so many venues.
Oh my gosh, you can't throw a rock and not hit like five of them just standing in one spot. But very welcoming. I mean, you wouldn't think that, the band that I manage, the Breakplanes, pop punk, alt rock, right? Okay. It's not really necessarily a genre that's embraced anywhere around here, But I'm always getting callbacks from Brooklyn venues, which is interesting.
Maybe I just hate driving in the city. I can't stand
you were just talking about I guess kind of lazy people who don't want to come out. They'd rather just look at watch the music on their phone, right? Well, when you're trying to sell tickets, you've been in a band and you know what it's like to try to sell your 30, 50 tickets or whatever. People don't want to go out to the city. And you don't know people. You don't yet. You're a young band. You're growing. You don't have a huge fan base.
Yeah,
you
don't have a local
right?
base to pull from. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're
but Brooklyn's
begging
even
people
worse
to go.
Than just the city because I can take a bus to the city.
That's true.
And get Brooklyn, it's from where I live, it's a minimum of 2 hours to get to Babies All Right or the TVI. Yeah. Some of the places I've
been
to.
So I get that. I get that. So it's tough because here's a welcoming music scene, but it's just hard for us to even play there.
I think we're gonna have to move.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys just say something about not moving?
Brooklyn vibe podcast.
No, I can't compete with Brooklyn vegans. So.
No. But you know what? I would order veal if we hung out with them.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to prove a point.
I don't think they'd talk to us. We're two small potatoes.
I've written to them about.
You want
to
leave me?
Help me make. No, but just like, hey, I have enough talent to be famous in a few different venues.
I know.
Never heard back from them.
Like, who the hell is this guy?
Pretty much. Well, you think there's enough,
Well, Doug has
cover
won,
bands.
You've won some awards lately for your photography.
Yeah, but that, that also requires me.
Tell them about it.
Yeah, I want to know about this. Where does one get such accolades?
He entered his photographs.
I tend to read more of the art shithead. I come from a fine art background. One of my many master's degrees was in fine art, photography, and video. So there's a magazine called Black and White Magazine that a few years ago, they had a thing about best live action shot, and I won some award for that. And just recently, it was just like your best, you know, one-off photo. So one of my pictures will be featured in some magazine that I'm going to have to cough up $15.
That's pretty awesome, though. Yeah.
That is awesome. We're
yourself on the back.
The presence of royalty.
See that?
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
So you've accomplished more than us.
That's right. You know what? I firmly believe that any magazine that would show my picture as a good example of black and white skill is a magazine I don't think I want to be associated with. I wonder.
His photographs are excellent.
When this happens, I'm like, I wonder if there was a problem with the mail system. They didn't get enough entries. You know, what happened?
It's like, shit, these guys are desperate. Damn, I should have sent this one instead.
The only awards we get are being old and grumpy.
Yeah.
If I had a printer, I'd give you an award.
I was just told that. Thank you.
I fight with myself all the time. I have my own issues. But I recently published a book, and you could buy it at DreschersBook.com.
Okay.
So, and it's all pictures of, I tried to take more like, it's called self-portrait, but it's informal portraits of people at shows that don't know that they're getting their portrait taken and what their faces look like.
If you send me that link in a message, I will put it in the description of this video.
Thank you. Yeah, I have to say that's one of his greatest talents. He has many of them, but to capture... And again, this is why we all love music, right? That feeling, that vibe that you have, that energy. And he captures, you know, we concert photographers are always on the band, but he always takes the time to look at the audience.
Oh, the audience is infinitely more interesting than some of the bands.
And his pictures are phenomenal of that.
I think you get the best pictures of someone when they don't know their picture's being taken.
Well, that's why it's a self-portrait, but it's unknowing. So, and look, while we're accolading, let me suggest that Diane's color photography is spot on. She could be in any rock and roll magazine in a heartbeat, except for the fact that everybody's got a camera and everybody's got a phone and everybody's got a friend who works in the business. And most people really don't care about the picture as long as there's some sort of sketchy image, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
You should be in Rolling Stone before me.
Oh, I don't think that'll ever happen. I think you have a good chance.
You know what we could do? Why don't we walk into Rolling Stone together?
Okay.
I'll get myself thrown out.
Just and do a little sit-in.
They'll think you're the more reasonable of the two.
All right. Sounds good. Let's go for it.
He's throwing himself on the sword for you.
After we have a few gummies, though.
So when Cream Magazine resurrected, and they were like, you know, this is going to be the edgy thing. I'm like, oh, man, I was made.
To be edgy.
I sent them a ton of stuff. I didn't ever heard back from anybody.
That's no different than bands just sending in demos trying to get signed.
Yeah.
Which I don't even think they do anymore.
No, it's all like electronic press kits. You just send them an email.
EPKs.
Yeah, with like links to certain things. That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody gives
and this way it's even easier to just be like, delete.
I never saw this.
For sure. Speaking of, you know, a lot of email, do you get a lot of requests for your podcast?
I don't know.
Oh. do people?
At least he's on. I really don't know. I have no idea.
I don't think he sits behind the mechanics of the way things work here.
Do I look like that type of person?
Let's dive into this podcast real quick. Jeff shows up. Matt does everything else.
Now, can I ask, who owns this facility?
That would be me.
Okay.
So it's not even that he shows up.
I go to Jeff's house, and the podcast happens.
Now you play bass,
yes.
And what do you play?
Guitar.
Okay. Yeah, everybody's a guitar player.
Yeah, no, it's annoying.
Strat or Les Paul?
Les Paul.
Too damn heavy.
I know. I'm noticing that now. 20 years later,
I owned a Les Paul.
You got a Telly too.
Yeah, that's like a backup, like beater.
But the problem with both those guitars is you get a bruise on your forearm, because on the Strat. You know, it's beveled.
Oh, yeah.
But that Les Paul, I would get a bruise on my forearm. I owned a Telly for a while. It's just too much work to play.
Telly's a different animal. That's why, but whatever.
Yeah, that is what it is.
Nobody wants to see me play anymore.
It's true. It is true.
Never too old.
Oh.
We're at the point where we just make music for ourselves, you know.
Well, these days before I practice or play, like 2 hours earlier, I have to take extra strength Advil because my hands hurt
just
all of
that.
All the pieces.
I got the arthritis.
Well, you know, it's funny enough because ever since COVID, I took up golf. So, I went and played this morning, and literally, I'm like, oh my god, my back.
Yeah.
Oh my god, like. I'm 45 years old, and now this shit's happening to me.
If you're playing golf today, you are a dedicated golf player. Yeah, this is miserable.
Yeah. Well, I drink a lot, too.
There you go.
I don't know if you said about me, but I definitely like drinking.
I've golfed a few times. I actually own clubs.
Do you?
Yes. I enjoy driving the cart infinitely more than than chasing after that effing
ball.
Have
you seen those the golf carts that actually drive themselves?
No.
Really?
It's so cool. It's like remote control, so you could put your clubs in it. And you just, like, you walk.
It's, oh, no.
You
know, oh, yeah, yeah. It's the little car.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's like, R2-D2 with your clubs.
Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like, actually.
That's so cute.
And it's cool.
So what you're saying is technology is putting caddies out of work as
pretty
well.
Pretty much, yeah. But,
well, we'll have to go on the golf podcast, too. I care about that.
See, we got to just do that. We should have a podcast golf outing.
We've talked about this. I know. We have with Eric, right?
Yeah. There's so many.
Can we just do the back nine and then we'll have cameras at each hole to watch the frustration level?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like, quick.
There will definitely be cameras everywhere. That is one thing for sure.
That would be a funny reality series.
Just a bunch of musicians getting drunk and smacking golf balls all over the place.
It's a beautiful thing. So that is a work of art.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
When you do your golf outing, we'll be there.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
You know what we could do? Let's drive the refreshment cart. That would be much more fun than actually golfing.
That sounds good to me. I hate golf, so. Yeah, I can't.
I don't understand.
I don't have the patience.
Sport,
no. Do not have the patience.
Yeah, I don't either, but it doesn't. But that's what you drink.
That's why you play a little golf while you're out drinking.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know.
Well, I'd hate for you to let golf get in the way of any of your hobbies. So
exactly. You know, it's take the hobby with you.
I couldn't imagine being high and playing golf.
It's awesome. It's so fucking cool.
I would hit the ball and be like, oh, I lost it.
No, because
now what?
You'd be like, oh man, I'm not even mad at that. Yeah. That's so
cool.
Let's
try it again.
You're like, my tempo's real slow, man. That's cool. It's cool. It's a cool time. You gotta like, okay, so my motto is this, all right, because, you know, playing guitar and then like trying to make it, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking at this as like, oh man, like I pay to play golf. Like I'm not getting paid. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, fuck it, I'm going to go have fun.
Go have fun.
Yeah.
Does like, this not bother the people behind you?
I don't notice them.
Not notice them.
So let me ask this. When you were in high school, both of you, did you have a sense that you wanted to be a professional musician? Was that what you were angling for?
Yes.
And then what did you end up doing to support your lifelong passion of making music, but not doing it as a profession?
I'm still an idiot that still works on musical instruments and amplifiers. And
really?
Yeah. I'm that moron that went, I'm going to be a rock star. No. I'm going to record bands. No. I'm just going to fix things.
Okay.
Yeah, he's an amp tech. He does speaker repair.
Sure.
He records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's so a man of a man of many talents.
So I did technically stay in the field.
No, that's great.
I just kept morphing
my
age.
So later we could talk about, I own a Ventura 60 Strat.
Okay.
And no matter what I do, I can't get the action where I want it because the angle of the neck seems to be off. So I bought a shim.
Yeah, I was going to say, shim the neck.
But now it's like, it's fighting me. Ah. It's not falling into place. I was thinking of buying a new neck. Because that's that Pau Ferro neck, which I find the fretboard a little dry. I like a rosewood neck. So I've been looking for vintage Japanese Strat copy rosewood necks to put on the guitar. This is what I do all day. So you're my guy.
Me too. No, yeah, just actually, no.
Good connection.
Yeah, no, but I'm just looking. I'll give you a couple cards and stuff that you
please.
Can call.
And then, what did you end up doing?
I'm a surveyor, land surveyor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I ended up having kids early and just diving into work, and here I am. Now I'm, 42 years old, trying to get my degree in surveying and becoming licensed by the state.
How old were you when you had your first kid?
When I had my first kid, I was 21.
Well, let's ask this correctly. When the person you were with had their first kid, because you producing a child would be much more interesting to me than surveying.
Well, my wife, she was 19.
Really?
Wow. No. You're a youngin'.
I was 21. Yeah.
Damn.
So your wife had a child before she could buy beer.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fun. Next time I see her.
Yeah. We've been together like 20 something years.
Oh, you guys are still doing your thing? That's wonderful.
Yeah, man.
I sense that you may have blown through a few wives. Are you?
Wow.
No.
You got the same one?
Well, yeah, but I made her wait till I was like 35.
Okay, good. Good for you. You proved to her. You outlasted her desire.
I love that. He's like, you seemed like you blowed through a couple wives.
Well, you know, in all fairness, that was like my reputation back then. So like, you know, but not wives. Okay, just long-term. We'll call them friends.
Friends.
I loved every single one of them.
I'm sure you did.
Short period of time, but I did love them.
Well, the problem is loving them in overlapping times. That could be a bigger problem. You have to make sure one's over for you.
You know what? For not having like cell phones and stuff back then, I was a pretty good scheduler.
Yeah, you did well. Now, has your current wife produced progeny that you're proud of anyone? Are there kids in the picture?
There's one.
Okay, good.
She's 8.
Oh, that's such a sweet age.
I know.
She puts up with this, your daughter?
Yes, but she's starting to get the sass, so it's good. Kind of a...
Good.
You know. I have no advice for you on that, except for that it's going to get worse. Oh, if she's only 8 now.
That's what everybody says.
Oh, it is. My daughter's 14, going just about 15, and oh,
that's
man.
That's the toughest time. Yeah. Good luck to you.
It's all my friends that knew me through my 20s. And
they're having a good laugh now, right?
Oh, they're like, because all their kids deserve every second of this.
Yeah, funny.
Yeah, so their kids are babysitting for you. One of my 3 children is a girl.
Okay.
She's 21 now. I still cannot predict what day she will like me or not like me. Periodically, there's a lot of crying.
Mm.
I don't understand. It's like an alien shows up.
It is.
You know, but thankfully she's
a God. And I'm not a patient, nice person.
No, you don't.
My daughter starts crying. I go, listen, that's cool. Go to your room. Close your door. I don't need to hear it. I'm not going to yell at you for crying. I'm just going to make you cry more. Go away.
Well, you're also getting to the age, and far be it from me to make an attempt not to be graphic, but she is going to hate you for at least 4 days out of every 28 days.
Well, it's like my daughter. Some days she's my best friend, and some days she's my mortal enemy.
No, I have to say, my daughter and I are very close, but once in a while, I don't understand the moodiness involved in daughtering.
You know, this is a family-friendly podcast, so the word that I want to use where they can't understand normal thinking, no offense.
Okay. It's a mystery. It's a mystery to us.
Yes, it is. It's very weird.
And Jen says, you really don't understand girls, do you? I'm like, no, I never said I did.
It's not part of my job description, okay?
I don't think there's any man that understands women. Like, truly. No, just
I bet you doesn't exist. I bet Alan Alda understands
women. Alan Alda, huh?
There's a vintage name out of the past.
This is why it's fun to... You never know what's coming out of his mouth when I do a podcast with him.
I'm sorry I missed your guys' podcast. And I think
this is pretty much what we did last time.
Okay. So I'm just making up for it. I would like to know what's like some of your most interesting... Because I know you guys run a lot of different things. I want to say band first. What was like the most wildest band that you've had on? You don't have to say names, but you could just be like, oh, this guy or whoever jumped on the table. Or what's like a crazy thing a band has done at your studio?
We haven't had that, mm-mm. I'm pleased to say. Let me share an experience.
Sure.
I won't say the name of the band.
You don't have to.
I have a good non-band one, so you go your
team. Okay, we'll get to that one next then.
A young band came in, very excited about being on the podcast. They were so high when they walked in that the conversation was almost impossible.
Was this back in 2003?
2003?
Yeah.
No, that would be a lifetime
ago. Okay, so it wasn't me. Never mind.
No, it wasn't. But I think what it was in trying to assess the situation is they were all very young, and I think their idea was that if you're in a band and you're being interviewed, you're sort of forced to like play into that role of sarcastic, can't get a straight answer, show up, you know, ready to throw the TV out the window. And I think, and we touched on some really fascinating things, but it would have been a much better discussion if the, you know, half of them weren't sort of staring out the window the whole time.
Yeah, but I've also noticed that younger generation, like my son, he's almost 19 now, so he falls in that bracket. They are so socially inept. Because like when we were younger, we went out and played with our friends. You went to your friend's house. There was like 10 other kids there. Kids these days, they're hanging out with their friends, is sitting in front of a computer or an Xbox talking to somebody on a headset. They don't have the same social interactions as we do.
Some of the other young bands that showed up not high were able to talk about musicianship and what inspired them. But when you're so in the bag, that in my head, I'm like, I don't even know if I feel like publishing this because it's just a drag.
Yeah.
No. But we ended, you know, we did as best we could. But it, I think it's a missed opportunity. Look, it's not like we're famous or anything, but I think it's a missed opportunity to represent yourself.
To Matt's point, it's hard for bands to get press, right? Like, we, you know, like that's why you're doing it. That's why we're doing it, to help bands out. And if you have that opportunity, why waste it? You know, I mean,
even if you only pull, say, five new people from doing a podcast.
Tell you.
That's five people you didn't have
one
before.
One fan at a time, you're building it. Yeah, for sure.
What were you going to say?
Well, first of all, I was going to say, on the band side, I've just had so many great, like, not crazy things again, but just so many great, like, in-depth conversations about creative process and, like, you know, what bands do, like, similar to entrepreneurs to grow their brand and everything. Like, I'm fascinated and have had great deep conversations with some of these people. But my favorite moment, I'm going to forget the name of it. We started branching out and doing more than musicians. We want to just talk to all creatives. So you brought in an Asbury Park businesswoman, and I don't remember the name.
Oh.
Okay. And I could relate to this. You guys say you don't understand women. Let me tell you something. When we women get a little bit older and we progress, we have some problems with hot flashes. This woman came in. God love her. She goes, "Oh, my God, I'm having a hot flash." And she literally whipped her top off.
She was sitting
in her bra.
She was there in a sports bra.
She was so hot and she couldn't take it. It was just
I'm just glad we can make people feel that comfortable.
She was totally comfortable. I said, "Honey, I understand you." It's just like, you know, it was fine. But
we don't got cameras really, here either.
It was really funny. Like, you know, just, yeah, she was in. But they were fascinating. They were Asbury.
They knew a good history of Asbury.
An Asbury business and just hardworking people. And sure, that was a great podcast. I enjoyed that.
But if you're a band and you're going on a podcast, look, I'm going to do my best to ask you questions. But you have to talk.
Yeah.
So you get a band in, you're like, "Hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, if I'm sensing, I sense some of your, you know, I'm seeing some sort of influences, like a band like Television or some old time bands. Would you agree with that?" Or, you know, and they're like, "Yeah." And then there's just this silence and you're like, talk, you know.
They can't.
It's supposed to be informal enough that they have to have a conversation. And maybe to your point, some people are incapable of a fluid conversation that has some peaks and valleys. And our job as the persons who are interviewing them, try to push it and move it along in the right way. But if you're going to pony up monosyllabic...
Now you're breaking stuff.
Well, get over there and fix it for him. Come on there, slacker.
If you're going to pony up monosyllabic answers, you know, you look down at the timer and you're like, "Wow, we've been
here for 20 minutes and you haven't said shit."
But it's like you look at it and you're like, "Wow, we've been here for 10 minutes. Now, what else do we want to talk about?"
We had another one where we were promoting an event in Asbury. And so we had like kind of like a panel of people come join us. And we didn't even do the podcast at that point. And one of the guys freaked out. And we had microphones for everyone, and he was so nervous about speaking into the microphone, and we're just about to start, and he gets up and he walks outside and he never came back.
It was literally like, "I'll be right back," and he just left.
And he just left.
Some of these kids these days, they have social anxiety so bad. All you can get out of them is, "Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it." That's it.
Like, There's a couple people I wish did that for us.
I have a kid I work with. He'll come back at the end of the day, and I'm like the manager of all our crews. I'm like, "How'd you do today?" He's like, "Good." Like, "Any problems?"
Want to elaborate on that?
Yeah.
"You guys need anything for the truck?" "I don't think so."
That's it.
I see the kid every day for the last year and a half, and it's like, I barely even know him. He says like four words a day.
Wow. Yeah.
If someone can be creative and use an economy of words, that could be interesting. But
even if there's no
conversation.
Some adults, you'll have to pull it out of them, too. Like, we've had that where some guests just, they're not a public speaker, you know,
right.
As we're like us, we try to keep our podcast, not like, you know, this question after this question after this question. We try to keep it as more of a, just like a general conversation.
It should be like you're sitting at a bar.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
chatting.
Yeah. And yeah. then whatever comes up, we go on tangents all the time and, you know, we'll record 2 hours and I end up only putting out 45 minutes because yeah. we just go on rambling about 45 minutes and right. nothing.
Oh, non sequiturs. We're very good at
it. Yes, we are.
We did have one band that one of the gentlemen in the band decided to tell us about somebody in Asbury who had screwed them out of money. And instead of stopping them, and I winked at Diane and we just cut that whole piece out.
Oh, yeah. It's
I don't feel like alienating us because they had a bad gig.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things about, you know, promoters and or owners of bars, clubs.
I mean, it's everywhere, too. It's not just Asbury.
It's not. Right. It's just we happen to deal with Asbury. So
money,
like,
makes,
that's
money makes people greedy and greedy people screw people over.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah. that's really what it is.
But we
I think
shit
I'm
out
a very kind, greedy person. Kind but I'm not good at being greedy because I always feel like I'm flat broke. So I'm going to have to work on that.
Yeah. yeah. If you're greedy, you want to be broke. That's how I feel.
The two are antithetical. I'm going to have to work on that.
So I did have something I wanted to bring up to
of
you
Of course.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
I do. You guys have probably seen it. Like, I am always trying to network. Like, I'm always talking to people, trying to spread myself around. And I have a possible venue to do a show in southern Monmouth County. And that's a little north of our normal range. Mm-hmm. If we do, you know, potentially do something there, would you guys like to, like, collaborate with us?
And
we
of could, course.
We, you know, love we could, the two podcasts come as one and put the show together?
I would love it.
As long as it's not like a pro-Nazi, you know, Uber Alice band that you've gone nutty about.
Damn it. Damn it. See, I don't even tell you about these
I
things.
I know. And you expect me just to follow like a dog.
Well, no, most of the time I'm like,
that's
I got
why
this.
Sometimes I just don't show up.
This is mine and Jeff's conversation. Jeff, I just did all this work and I got us this. He writes back, okay.
Cool.
Cool.
Like, we're designing a new logo. I sent him like four proofs. Which one do you like? Well, they look fine.
They're all good.
Man, would you really?
So I want... just stopped asking you until it's a definite thing and I just go, this is what we're doing.
Now, may I ask what? What sort of general ballpark of kind of music are we producing?
It's going to be original music, okay. And our shows are always a mixed bag.
Okay.
We like to have a little bit of everything.
Should I bring my ukulele?
You could.
That'd be fun.
Like, the first show we put on down in Manafurkin was a, like, a...
Did you say Manafurkin?
Manafurkin Brewery down in Manahawkin.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard of such a thing, but okay.
They are a sponsor of our podcast.
That's wonderful.
But our first band was, like, a post-folk.
Okay.
Like, it's, like, 15 pieces. Like, they play, like, accordions and mandolins and flutes and drums and
that's so cool.
singing bowls. And then the second band was, like, a spaghetti western rockabilly mm-hmm. with two upright basses. And then we had a hardcore band.
Okay.
And it went off without a hitch.
Yeah. I love shows that have variety. Yeah.
Anything that's a little off the beaten path.
Yeah, and everybody stayed for everybody, and everybody mm-hmm. just... They just dug it.
You let us know, mm-hmm. and we can cross-pollinate and have them on both of our podcasts, and then we'll mm-hmm. hang a flag.
Well, let me rephrase that. You let all of us know.
I just let you know. At the same time, I let them know.
Yeah, I know.
It's like breaking news.
Jeez.
Does he have to tell you what to wear when you guys go out on the weekend, too? Is he like collared shirt, hoodie okay, that kind of thing?
No, you can't do that. Though he fucked up, because we did a live... Or no, not live. We did the... What was the thing? I wore a Giants jersey and it was like in Philadelphia. Yeah, it's just like
we were down in Manahawk and the park they have on Manahawk and Lake, and they had like a whole, it was called Manahopkin, and it was like a beer and music festival. And he shows up with a Giants jersey on, and that's Philly territory.
It is.
So we're walking around getting like interviews, and all you hear is "Go Birds!"
Yeah.
Nobody threw a D battery at you.
No, like, I did, I was like, "All right, who's gonna punch me in the face?" Yeah. Like, just get it over with.
But actually, for us, we've talked about that it would be fun to put a show on, and we inquired and got a little nervous about how much we'd actually have to lay out and the whole process. Mm. But we'd love to tag along with you to see how you do it, because this is the kind of thing that we'd love to do too. It would be great for us as Asbury Park Vibes to mm-hmm. put on like a new music, like four times a year, just have like a big gig somewhere.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But now with some of the venues not being there that we would have liked, we would potentially have to pony up a boatload more money, but we're open.
So really the picture thing is your guys' main, I don't want to say source of income. What's the right word I'm looking for?
The picture thing is my main passion.
Okay.
Diane is a little bit more branched out than me. In that she's managing a band, but she also
trying to figure out where he was going.
But she'll also do the electronic press kit. Okay. She'll do. I'm not one who's too terribly interested in having a band in like the studio, and she has the whole backdrop, and she'll do the band portraits. I could do that, but it's a lot of mental work for me, and mm-hmm. I don't enjoy it.
But we did gotcha. We did start the magazine as a magazine. Okay, you know we were just going to cover the live music scene. In and around Asbury Park, and then, you know, and then and beyond, because the other publications that I shot for before that would do national, you know. So one was based in Florida and one was based in North Carolina, but we covered everywhere. We had like a team of photographers that covered everywhere. So that's how we started. And again, podcast came via the pandemic. So we branched out that way. And then, you know, I'm a writer too, so, and we have the studio, so we started taking pictures, also studio pictures, and then I figured let me help bands, like, you know, that need the EPKs, need a bio written and all that, and then just starting to get into, like, artist development now, like, in management. I have a business background, and started talking to some bands, you know, and I saw them, I saw potential, but I saw them struggling, and I kind of knew business-wise what they needed to do next, and like, who am I, right? Like, but I went up to a band and I'm like, I really have some ideas for you, and the band that I'm working with right now said would love to hear it. Well, you know, and then that's kind of how my management portion took off, because they asked me, you know, we just hit it off, started talking about all these things, they followed some of my advice, things started picking up, and they're like, we want you to be my manager, or, you know, our manager. And I'm like, wow, never thought of doing that before. But let's give it a shot. And it's very, very similar to running a business.
Yeah.
So
it pretty much is a business. Yeah.
It is. It's, you know, they're entrepreneurs. You have all the buckets that a business has. You have like, you know, public marketing. You have finances. You have sales. You have your product. You know, and you just have to.
And you also
to do it
deal
all.
With the quirky personalities of the people in the bands, yeah. And navigating that's hard
yes,
enough, right?
Yeah, relationships, you HR,
you're
going to
find this.
Yeah.
I know you're not going to agree with this, but
who me?
No, you're not going to agree with this.
Okay,
I am a wholly unsocial person. I talk all day for a living. I deal with crazy people all day.
Okay,
I like the photography because it's mine. I don't want your money, because the few times I've taken money for pictures. Then all of a sudden, you're like, it's too dark. It's not dark enough. Can you make the color to this? Can you make the color to that? I don't want to deal with that. If I wanted to do that, I'd do this as a day job. So gotcha. I've made some money on photography, but I've lost a lot of money on photography because it's mine and it's my hobby. If I get a pass, I have no interest in meeting the band unless we're doing something for Asbury Park Vibes and we're going to interview them. But for me, they're like, hey, do you want to go back and interview the sumo wrestlers? And I was like, no. I'm going to grab a slice of pizza and I'm going home. I got the pictures. I like the pictures. I don't like dealing with strangers. And that's why I think Diane and I have sort of balanced out our business relationship. Now, I'll go to see the bands that she likes and I'll offer thoughts. I mean, I've been doing music since I was, you know, in utero in some fashion or another. I have lots of opinions and no shortage of opinions. But if you didn't need me to be there and I didn't want to be there, I'm just as happy to stay at home in a hoodie and a pair of sweatpants. Hang out with, we're empty nesters. It's my wife and I and these two idiot dogs. I have everything I have right there. I could stay home for days at a clip.
Which is weird because when you sit down and, you know, especially in this format and talk to you, you don't come off as a not social person.
No, I don't have any social anxieties about it. I would prefer not to. If you've ever had to read the story, Bartleby the Scrivener by Herman Melville, there's a guy who, he's an accountant, and they ask him to do certain jobs, and he says, you know, I'd prefer not to. That is my philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want me to come out and do a thing, I'm perfectly comfortable with it. But in the back of my head, I already know what my snack will be when I get home.
You're so
fair enough.
Funny.
Fair enough.
You were so funny. Well, I think it was like when you and I met, like you said, we didn't know each other at first. And there was just like an immediate Like, I don't know. There's just something very comfortable about Doug. It's like he's my brother from another mother. Like, I mean, we just...
Oh, by the way, Diane, I forgot to tell you, we share the same mother.
Going there. Is her name Dawn?
I'm not going to live that one down for a while.
Know, no, right?
You suck.
But I can honestly say, look, I've been on the planet almost 60 years. Diane is the first new friend I've made since 1996. I have a core people that I'm very close with. Mm-hmm. Met some in college, some in art school, some in the neighborhood. But
keep the circle small.
It's just, you know, I don't have to send a lot of Christmas cards, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, I always make somebody else do it, but yeah. I mean, that's... I get it.
As an anti-authoritarian, I'm very pliable.
See, that's the difference. They're all happy and cheerful. We just get told we're grumpy.
Yeah, I was a little... Yeah.
I really am the kind of misanthrope that you wouldn't mind living next door to. Because if you're in the neighborhood, if you're next door, I'd be like, hey, come have a beer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then the second you sit down, I'll count the seconds until you get up and leave me alone.
Oh, I love
We've
that.
Noticed when we have like younger bands on, like they'll say something and we'll tell them like a truthful opinion that they don't want to hear.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The one guy brought up, oh, our Instagram tag is blah, 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 NJ. And he's like, why? Why are you going to limit yourself to NJ?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. And then we got comments like, oh, you guys are just old and grumpy and blah, blah. I'm like, we just tell it how it is. We've been there. We've done that. You know?
We've earned the right.
Yes.
To be where we are. I have played some of the, when I was in a band years ago, the fact that I didn't contract typhus from the bathroom in New Brunswick at the Court Tavern.
Oh my God.
The two most disgusting places on the planet were that the bathroom at the Court and the bathroom at CB's. I was in a band that got paid to play. I didn't use either of the bathrooms, so I stood there. I watched someone related to the Ramones shooting heroin. I did. That's enough for me.
The bathroom at Chubby's and Red Bank was pretty bad for a while too. Mm-hmm.
You know what I did? I mean, talk about a tangent. I never went to the place in Trenton.
Champs?
No. The old place in Trenton that was like the home of new music.
Oh, City Gardens?
City Gardens. I grew up in Oakland, New Jersey, north of here, right on the New York State border. If you were going to cross the Raritan River, you needed a hotel room to get, because it was so far away.
Oh, yeah.
The idea of driving to Trenton when I was 18 was insurmountably far away. I would have loved to have been part of that scene. Because what's weird for me is so many people from the City Gardens Trenton scene landed in Asbury. Somebody like Jim Norton, the sound guy and manager of House of Independence, was a sound guy, if I'm not mistaken, in City Gardens when he was much younger. A lot of the bands that played City Gardens, you know, Television, punk bands, Butthole Surfers.
The most famous was the bartender at City Gardens.
And now he's going to be on Stewart. TV. Yeah. But that, yep. You know, New Brunswick to me was the edge of going anywhere in one drive. And then in looking back, I would have liked to have gone to City Gardens. It sounded like a wonderfully disgusting
place.
For
me, I live about 15 minutes south of here. So my top going north was like Birch Hill. So like Old Bridge.
And I went to City Gardens a couple times.
Did you?
From Trenton.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who did you see?
Oh, my God. I knew you were going to ask me that.
I'm hard-pressed that you were at a Butthole Surfer show where they, like, set the symbols on fire.
I would remember. No, I don't remember much, but that. I would remember that. I went to a lot of punk shows, actually.
Yeah. You know, I don't think your goody two-shoes are as bright and clean as you think they are.
Oh, I know
I think
not.
You are a wild one.
I hide things well.
I was about to say, she's hiding it very well.
Yeah,
then.
She does very well.
Always be careful the quiet ones.
We'll get her liquored up and have her tell stories. Oh,
the vault opens.
Yeah.
That's true.
Everybody's face.
Then we get the real side of her. All right, well, before we wrap this up, we just want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, Low Fidelic Records, Main Street in Belmar, New Jersey, and Manafurkin Brewery down in Manahawkin on East Bay Avenue.
Is vinyl,
why are you staring
is
at
vinyl
because I don't like
that
you
much
don't
of
tell
a comeback? Is vinyl a big thing again?
Yeah, it's making a comeback.
Does it make any sense to you whatsoever?
No, because they're still fucking doing it through a computer. It's a goddamn record player with a USB. How fucking analog is that?
Yeah. I mean, if you're getting a true record and you play it through like a, you know, an actual record player on a real system, it does sound slightly warmer.
Are you telling me in all
But it's
God's
more the
honesty,
stereo system than the vinyl.
If I have a decent stereo, right? Not Polk Audio, right? Like a real stereo. And I play you an uncompressed AAC track and then play it on the record. Assuming you don't hear pops and crackles as all records, can you tell me honestly you can tell the difference from one track to the other?
Yes.
The bass
will be a lot
warmer. Is it warmer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like what Neil Young said. He said, I don't get it. We spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, to make a record, and then kids listen to it through $5 headphones.
Yeah. 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 Or just through their phone, where it's like, this little speaker is going to make it sound great. No, man.
I gave all of my vinyl to my kids. My kids have the record player. I know they don't treat their musicians well, but I got to tell you, Spotify... knows me. I know that their business model leaves a whole lot to be desired, but I've been introduced to more bands through Spotify than I don't think I would have ever been able to come across without Spotify. And bands that I have then contacted and said, when you're through New York, I'd love to take your picture, and I got a chance. I mean, if I thought about it, I could give you 10 bands that I love now
because
that
of Spotify.
Spotify said, hey, dummy, you may like this record. And I'm staring at the screen. I'm like, holy shit, how did he know that I was going to like that track?
Our band's on Spotify.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Just okay, not so our podcast.
Our podcast is not on Spotify.
Why not?
Because it's on every single other avenue except Spotify.
Oh, you do this as a choice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you enjoy that.
I remember you telling me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
See? Exactly.
Yeah.
Why not stop your podcast from being broadcast on the number one aggregator of podcasts?
To prove a point. Actually, I want to be the martyr.
Fuck them.
You I think Apple fuck. Is bigger with podcasts, so.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, yeah. They are.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you.
I'll crack eventually. And
Spotify does a better job. I ended up having Apple Music because, you know, I've got five kids. We're all on the same plan. And everybody went. So, but I think whoever are the masters of figuring out who I am on does a much better job on Spotify than Apple.
Nah, see, I think Apple Music just takes longer for it to learn you.
Okay.
Because, like, my Apple Music throws me stuff all the time that just blows my mind. But it took a while of, like, picking through things
so
and stuff.
So what's one band that you know you would have never heard of if it wasn't for one of these algorithms to say to you, you might like this?
Like, probably one of my favorite bands right now is, I talked on your podcast about it, the band Gozoo out of Boston.
Okay.
Never heard of them. They just came up as a recommended. I started a channel for the band Baroness, and they just randomly got thrown in there. And that's like their new album. That's all I listen to lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. So good.
I mean, I wish they treated their musicians better. I mean, they're making money hand over fist.
But they still claim a huge loss.
But that's not my problem. Yeah. It didn't stop like the Kennedys. It didn't stop the Rockefellers. Everyone's in it for the money. My musical horizon, both in rock and roll and, like, as far as a broad range of punk, post-punk, that, and even just jazz and gospel music, which I absolutely love, you're in an almost near infinitely large library, and I would have never had access to that.
Yeah, we say it all the time. This is like, for musicians in this day and age, you're going against something that no other generation has ever had to go against. And that's someone having access to literally every song ever created in the palm of their hands.
Pretty much.
At all times.
Yep.
Though I got to tell you, I will go on to if there's bands that are not on Spotify or bands that do have podcast, I'm sorry, Bandcamp.
SoundCloud.
I'll pony up the $10. One of my favorite bands from the post-punk movement, it was part of the No Wave movement, was a band called Live Skull. I couldn't find them anywhere, and I found them on Bandcamp. I gave them $12. I have no problem paying you for it.
See, I don't like Spotify because it boils down to they are the biggest purveyor of music, and they pay the artists the least.
I agree.
Yeah. That shouldn't happen.
No.
But
I, like you said, if a band has a Bandcamp, I will support them through their Bandcamp over any other outlet, because that at least you know most of it is going
directly
to the
band.
If you wait for one of like the Free Fridays or whatever they do, then it all goes to the band.
So I feel that I purify my soul by spending some money on Bandcamp to then let me be the hypocrite Spotify. And listen to everything else for free for $21 a month.
We got this will be what the second episode of the year, so we can't start Spotify till at least after this episode because we just talked about not being on Spotify.
Well, no, then we can pick it up and be like, haha, told you so.
All right, well, we're going to get you out of here with our final question.
Okay.
Here we go.
If there's one thing about the music scene, local music scene, one thing that you could change, what would it be and why? One singular thing. Not like this, to change that, to change that. Just if you could change one thing, what would be the most beneficial in your eyes for musicians?
For the local music scene?
Yeah, for the local music scene.
Oh my goodness.
I have answers that can get us in a lot of trouble.
Those are the best ones.
Yeah, usually.
That'll come out in the car.
Go ahead, you go first.
Like, we've gotten so many just crazy different answers to this question.
It's a good question.
I'm going to offer one and a half.
Go ahead. You can go two if you want.
The half one is, I wish the sound at the Wonder Bar was a little bit crisper. I find the sound very taxing on my ears when I see bands at the Wonder Bar. It's like too like.
I think that's more the room than the actual sound.
The room, yeah. It's whatever it is. But I find the sound at the Wonder Bar, I find very taxing on the system. One thing that I would love to see, I've seen it a little bit. I liked when CBGB's had that on Sundays and Mondays. It was like open, not an open mic, but it was like showcase night.
Yeah.
So a band that nobody knew from anything or anywhere would just get on the waiting list, and it'd be about 4 or 5 months. But then you can get on a real stage with a real PA and a real sound system and perform. Because no matter how much you rehearse, until you stand on stage and you have to deal with the fact that you really can't hear anyone else playing, sure. That is so much different an experience. I would love to see more of that showcase night where 10 bands, 20 minutes each, you know.
That would help cultivate a new scene as well, because then you're going to have the people that go, oh, we can go here on a Sunday or a Monday.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to play, but there's normally pretty good bands that are playing, and we might find somebody cool.
One of the venues that we haven't mentioned, then I'll defer to Diane. Do you remember Game Changer World in Howell?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If Game Changer World, in my uneducated opinion, resurrected the Central Jersey hardcore scene. Dozens of kids who went to see hardcore shows there are now in hardcore bands or post-punk bands. And it was relatively easy to get a show.
The people that ran that place let it get out of control, though.
Well, when the wrestler jumped off the roof into the garbage, and then there was a fight, and then the police had to come break up the fight between the security guards, yeah, things got out of hand. But that aside,
that's mismanagement.
I would love for there to be an easier way for an unknown band just to get that, without having to join like that kids rock and roll show thing where you pay top dollar. I mean, if parents can afford it and kids do, it's a great experience. I never had enough money to send my kids to the School of Rock, but I would have loved if they had a little band and they could get a taste of being on a professional
stage.
That's
why we do what we do with our shows, just to, you know, we give a place for bands to come just play.
Just to play.
We don't demand any tickets sold. All our shows are free. They're mm-hmm. all ages. The brewery's cool. There's normally a food truck there. Mm-hmm. Everybody can just hang out and have fun. And you just got to show up. Like, granted, we want you to bring people.
Yeah.
But just show up, play, and have a good time.
Well, see, I think you almost started answering my question by what you're doing giving people the ability to perform without the just like all of the constraints of trying to sell those tickets,
pay to play,
you know, knowing the right person. I mean, you can make the best music and you could, you know, you have the greatest show, but if you don't know the right people, you know, you'll never get that exposure. I think in Asbury, since there are so many venues, and hopefully some of the closed ones will reopen again, what they could do to revitalize that area is, again, all of the venues work together where it becomes more of like a Nashville or New Orleans thing where you're not paying a ticket to go into each place, but you could kind of walk around with your beer and go in and out from venue to venue, listen to the bands play, let the bands all work for tips, Yeah. And just have like a crowd of people that is there that night to experience Asbury Park and the music scene. And you're going to just have an overflow of people, because people, you know, again, like you said, your shows are free and you said you have food trucks. See, people want different things to do. They don't just want to go in the one venue, stay there all night. They want to have mobility. They want a food truck. They, you know, they want to have dinner with their friends. So I think that would change. I think looking at the concert in a completely different way, the way you're starting to do, is how more bands will get a chance and more exposure.
But you also have to be inclusive. You have to, you know, let all different genres play.
For sure.
You can't pigeonhole yourself.
Absolutely.
And if you're not this mold, right, you don't play here.
And that's the error of doing things the old way. It's not working anymore. We see it.
Yeah.
Keep hitting your table.
Don't break the studio.
You broke.
But along the same, you know, again with Asbury, for a while it seemed like that it was catering to early 20 white men in bands. And I think they had to come to terms with the fact that there's a whole lot of other music going on. And part of the growth of Asbury was listening to the music that was across the street. And so they've been bringing in more rap. I'd love for Asbury to bring back some of the jazz that they were known for pre-Riot. Well,
to me, Asbury was better if you made a wrong turn on Cookman, you'd see four homeless guys around a burning barrel in the middle of the street.
We met one of them.
Yes.
They was on this podcast. That was cool.
But, I mean, that was when Asbury was great. Like, when you left the venue, you kind of had to fear for your life a little bit. But that the music scene was amazing.
I don't know if I would agree with that.
And afterwards, you could go to a diner all night. You know, yeah. You can't even find a diner that's open after a show.
Nowhere to go for cheese fries.
I think COVID kind of killed that thing. Yeah. So, like, there's no 24-hour.
Well, White Castle's still open 24
there
hours.
There you go.
Yeah, but that's not a diner. Like, where you go and you sit.
But White Castle might be the greatest drunk 2 a.m. food ever.
Yeah, but there was nothing better than we would go into the city to see a show. You know, in New York, the bars and venues were open until 4 a.m.
Yeah.
So around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, we're on Route 46 coming back to Bergen County, and you stop at the Bendix Diner, where they film that commercial where the woman's like, you know, what's that stuff you're doing? And the woman goes, oh, you're soaking in it. You know, that old commercial with Palmolive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You go to the Bendix Diner, you get 9 Cokes and a giant plate of cheese fries, mm-hmm. and you were friends, your friends, you had like a ritual eating.
Yeah.
And then you felt really sick. You went home when the sun came up. That was what it was like to go see a band in the city.
Yep.
That's so funny. You said 46.
Yeah. All right. Well,
thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it, guys.
And I'll be in touch about possible things in the future.
Please. Let us know. Absolutely.
Love to collaborate with you guys.
You guys can check them out. They're all over the interwebs. And you guys, Instagram is a good place to get a hold of you. Facebook,
Asbury
right?
Asbury Park Vibes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I've recently posted some pictures of sumo wrestlers on our Instagram.
Yes.
Definitely go check those out. If you send me that link, I'll link your book.
I will send it to you when I get
home. Description.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
All right. Perfect. Thanks for coming out.
Be well. Yes. Safe travels.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And,
for us, we're out, right? That's it.